Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's Bud Pod 2 for 2.
2 for 2. Look at you. By which I mean, look at me. I'm back.
He's back. Wang is home again.
Yes, sorry to be away for so long. It felt like so long. But I was in Australia and New Zealand doing.
Far from these shores.
Literally as physically far away as you can get from these shores. And yeah. Still encounter places called Dunedin.
Yes.
But that's the empire for you.
Yes, it's just like Sheffield, Western Australia. Yeah, okay.
In Sydney, I made a joke about the University of Newcastle, and it wasn't the Newcastle here. There's a Newcastle in New South Wales that everyone makes fun of.
Oh, and that's where
a lot of comedians are from.
Yes, I was going to say.
Rhys Nicholson, Sarah Kendall, and Felicity Ward, I think, are all from Newcastle.
Is it the Glasgow of Scotland?
Yeah,
of Scotland,
it seems to be.
Australia?
Yeah, it seems to be. It is funny, yeah. Everywhere has this town where all the comedians seem to come from.
Yeah, weirdos who want to leave.
Yes, I think that's it. I think that is it. And I think that is a very important part of the mix that makes someone a comedian or makes someone want to be a star is that where they live has facilities, has institutions, but you still want to go out, get
you
out.
You want to leave. Yeah. That's why it's harder, because if you're in Melbourne, you stay.
Too nice.
It's too nice. It's too full of other weirdos you can hang out.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the most tiredest point? You're a very tired man.
I think the tiredest point, well, unsurprisingly, been the first day after I arrived from the UK to New Zealand in Auckland.
Yeah.
So we, straight in the deep end, flew straight to Auckland.
And which is, what is it? How long? It's a layover.
I think airport to airport is 25 hours.
Fuck off. You must have smelt like balls, man.
Oh, I always smell like balls. And it's one of those crazy arrive times where I got in at 3 a.m. and had already slept 8 hours or whatever on the plane very recently. And you've just turned up. And obviously I was awake on the plane earlier, so 11 p.m., 12 a.m., and then waited till 3 a.m. to arrive. And then I'm taken to the hotel. And then I just lay down. You know that sometimes when you have a flight like that, and to beat the jet lag, you try and do this little play where, I'm lying in bed. I'm sleeping now because it's dark. I arrived at 4 a.m. It'll be light in 3 hours, but right now it is dark. Sleepy time. And you just lie there, kind of doing this play, pretending that it's normal. And it gets to 7 o'clock, and you do the arm stretch out. Just a normal day.
Waking up from being asleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I was.
Lying, just saying that out loud in the mirror. Yourself.
Just nodding.
Yeah. That was me. Asleep.
I was that guy who was asleep just now.
That was pretty tough. But then there was a weird flight to Perth and back because it's three hours behind the East Coast, but still the same country. It's such a fucking big place. Most isolated city in the world. That's all they ever talk about in Perth.
Perth. They like their own isolation.
Very isolated.
It looks like if you built Milton Keynes in Johannesburg.
If you built Milton Keynes in Johannesburg, right.
A lot of Middle England red brick and brick high streets and English looking designs of shops and stuff.
Yeah.
Surrounded by loads of brightly colored bungalows.
Yes.
Endless suburbs of brightly colored bungalows.
And then, well,
but the landscape is Joburg.
Yes, right. Yeah, exactly. The cities of Australia are all the same in that there's CBD, Central Business District, that's all shiny and glass and high buildings. And then immediately the first borough out is Wild West town. It literally looks like the Wild West. These sort of two-story, three-story build. They're called Federation architecture there, because it's from when they were a federation. Here, I guess you kind of call it colonial, maybe, but it's kind of like a Wild West, New Orleans style building.
You don't really get architecture like that here.
No.
I was somewhere the other day where I saw like clapboard housing.
And that means those like planks that are sort of laid over each other a bit. They're like at an angle and they go.
Yeah, up. Stephen King, main. Haunted houses from horror movies.
Yes.
From our youth.
Yes, exactly that. But thank you to everyone who came in Australia and Auckland. I got a couple of kojis.
Oh, yeah, very good.
Got a few kojis. Got some pod buds coming over and saying hi after the show. Thank you to all of them. Koji to you. Thank you for coming. It was a wonderful time. and thank you so much to Glenn Moore, who did such a wonderful job.
Yes.
Doing Bud Pod in my stead.
Substitute Phil,
and what a substitute Phil.
Yeah, and you know he kept saying like, how much, you know, do I need to get a wig? Should I wear glasses that are more like Phil's?
I was listening to Glenn's episodes, going, this guy's great, man. I hope the old guy never comes back.
We got a message. Well, the Twitter. We got a tweet saying like, oh, I feel like I'm cheating on Phil. But this person was so extreme that she was like, next time, can there just be no Bud Pods when Phil's away?
Wow, okay.
That's how uncomfortable I'm made by this. Like, ooh.
Look, we're very vocally anti-extremist on this podcast in all senses.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that is quite an extremist position.
That is extreme.
But I appreciate that I was away for a while, and I do apologize. Thank you for not tracking me down and bashing me over the head. What did I miss? Anything interesting happen?
Just the usual usual well-run country.
Oh, but it's not well-run, in my opinion. Frit. Suella Braverman?
Yeah, she's gone now.
Wow. Oh, why is it always a good one?
Very odd-looking lady.
Odd-looking?
Yeah.
Yes, very odd-looking lady. I know exactly what you mean. She looks like...
She looks like she's leaning forwards all the time.
Ah, very good. There's something also kind of Aardman Studios about a face.
Yeah.
It's a bit Wallace and Gromit.
Yes. Yes, I know exactly what you mean. Artificial.
But leaning forward is very good.
Always forever leaning.
Yeah, every time I see him, like, your face is too close to the camera.
Or you want to say, are you inspecting the lens? Or like she's leaning around the door, you want to say, come in, you can come in.
So Suella Braverman, they got to her because her speech was too free.
They got to her. Those people from boats.
There was too much freedom in her speech.
The boat people got her.
The boat people got her at last.
They leapt out of boats and dragged her in.
The deep state boat people got her.
Yeah. She's perished.
This is how messed up the migration system is here, Pierre, that people can illegally migrate here and then instantly join the deep state and get rid of top tier politicians.
Yeah. It's I've seen a guy with a big, what are they called? Sandwich board?
Yep.
Like wearing it, you know?
Why is it called a sandwich board, by the way? Did they usually start to advertise sandwiches?
I guess because it's just like two slices. It makes you, are you the sandwich?
Oh, it itself is a sandwich,
it's
right.
A board and you're a sandwich?
Oh, because you're sandwiched by the boards. I never even put that together.
I've just thought that now.
Surely more like clam boards would be better. They're more clam-like.
Also, it's a person sandwich, not a, you know, you don't call it a bread sandwich.
No, you don't. You don't. But a sandwich board, I suppose. They're not calling it a board sandwich.
Yeah. Must be it.
Yeah, I mean, technically, it's a struggling actor sandwich.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I saw a guy wearing one of those on the beach.
Ah.
And it said... want to join the deep state?
Okay.
Scan this QR code to find out more. And he was
like
there,
a trap.
Waving at the boats.
Oh shit! Really?
Yeah, he was going, please come, quick. We need more boat people.
Which beach was this?
The one opposite Calais.
Right.
The one directly opposite Calais.
Yeah.
Which is where they go probably.
Yeah.
And he was waving, quick over here. This is England.
Really?
Yeah.
Gosh.
I know.
What the hell?
And then they took out Suella Braverman.
Yeah.
These people.
Incredible. They did it. They did it.
All these Oxbridge-educated civil servants and Albanian people smugglers working together at last. What a combo. What a highly effective dream team. You missed what I was going to say. Did you miss? I have several friends who disagree with me on this. I liked the new Fassbender movie.
Oh, The Killer.
Uh-huh.
Well, I watched it only last night. And I might have to join the opposing chorus.
No!
I'm afraid I didn't really get it. I didn't really get it. It got 5 stars in The Guardian.
I think
I'm astonished it got 5 stars in The Guardian. It's fun enough. If I was watching it with my girlfriend, and she was like, "Do you think this is going to be a boy movie?" She's like, "This is for sure a boy movie." And like it starts, and he's just monologuing to himself about the life of the killer, and she was like, "But I was like, this is payback for Elvis."
Yeah.
This is only half the length of Elvis.
Yeah. And at no point is there going to be a fucking kaleidoscope made out of bullets that swoops into his eye, that swoops out his bum, that swoops into a new scene.
I think I
went into watching it.
Yeah. Do you watch it in the cinema?
No. Okay, Netflix. Yeah. But like, psychologically, I went into watching it knowing, I don't know how, or maybe I had an inkling, that it wasn't like John Wick.
Yeah.
I knew it wasn't like John Wick, and it's Fincher, so I knew it would be meditative and strange.
Right.
And I like that, and I like almost...
I like the strangeness, yeah.
And yeah. It's based on a graphic novel that's like a satire of consumerism and stuff.
Okay.
So there's never going to be a straight down the barrel action movie. And a lot of the people who I know who didn't like it, I think, were... like, wanted the John Wick part of their brain tickled.
Sure. And I thought there were a couple of John Wick-esque fight scenes. It was sparse, but I thought they were effective.
But at no point did he fight 70 masked Yakuza.
No. Yeah. I like that it was grounded. I like that element of it. And I thought it mostly looked very good. And I don't know. I just felt like every element of it I've seen before.
Did you find it funny? I found it very funny.
I didn't find it very funny, no.
The scenes that made me laugh the most were where you overhear the rich guy and his personal trainer.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't quite make out what they were saying.
He's like shouting in the changing rooms about like... The trainer's asking the guy for like Bitcoin advice.
Oh, yeah, I heard that. Yeah. I really like movies that are really unashamed about incorporating modern technology.
Mm-hmm.
And like brands. And like, this is brand galore. I mean... You know, Google Maps, Amazon.
Yeah.
With this WeWork, he hides out in a WeWork.
Yes.
And I really like that. I really don't like it when they shy away or they call things different things, or like the phone screen is like a made-up screen that says synthesizing or like downloading, and there's one giant bar. It's like, what? It takes up the whole screen.
And it's a font you've never seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can see that it's been pasted over the image of like some cardboard that they've made look like a phone.
Yes, I really like they incorporated the modern world in an unashamed way.
But that's part of the satire element, I think.
Right, yes.
Like, he's an assassin, but he still has to go to a fucking WeWork and just sit around. And,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, no, I liked it. But it to me, it felt like also the closest to a Hitman movie, even though there have been 2 Hitman movies. It was very Hitman-y.
Oh, as in like the brand...
Oh, the brand Hitman, the character Hitman.
Sorry, Agent 47. Agent 47, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was all right, but I wasn't totally one of it. I like the presentation. I like the chapters in that.
What would you have added? What do you want?
I think a different story. I've seen, maybe because I've played Hitman, I've seen the story of the assassin who goes on revenge, you know, and has to break his rules.
Yeah.
I just feel like I've seen that. I don't really know what I was looking for. I like that was brutal. I like movies that are very calm and then briefly extremely brutal and they return to calmness.
I like
that about it.
I think for me, the any kind of...
Right now I'm thinking...
I need to stop even accidentally watching fucking American reality TV because I can feel it's making me dumb. It's like standing close to the elephant's foot.
Yeah, secondhand smoke.
It's like standing next to the elephant's foot in Chernobyl. I can feel...
The elephant's foot.
It's the big like magma that's poking through the door. It's a big lump of radioactive magma that's like from the core.
Oh, shit.
There's only like one grainy photo of it. It looks like a big elephant's foot.
Horrible.
If you see it, you're dead. Like, you know, it's just it's so radioactive. That's what those shows are like for me. It's like staring into an x-ray machine while it's been left on. It's just for me. I just feel like I've seen so many assassin movies that for now, like, I don't, like, I know all the plots already anyway of everything.
Yeah, so now it's for you, it's like all about presentation.
It's all about presentation and manner of execution. I'm like a judge on MasterChef.
Yeah, you're fucking Come Dancing, Let's Go. What's it called? Strictly Come Dancing.
I'm like Come Dancing, Let's Go. Let's Go. I really hope that you get to do it one day now.
I've always wanted to be on Come Dancing, Let's Go. It's been a,
Let's Go. Sorry, that's what it's called in Malaysia. It's translated into Malay and back again, and it's called Come Dancing, Let's Go. Yeah, exactly. Or like I'm Greg Wallace on MasterChef. You're not going to invent a type of pancake I haven't had.
Yeah,
it's just like this one. This is still a pancake, but now it's got lavender in. You go, oh.
What the killer does have that I love, and I think this was sort of epitomized and done most well by the Gilliganverse of Breaking Bad. I would say even better in Better Call Saul.
Ooh.
Of like the very mundane preparation steps to some great violent act, or con.
Yes.
And like I love scenes where like a criminal or assassin has to go to a fucking home barn or, you know, a big supermarket and like buy the stuff.
It's the chicken wire, the fertilizer, exactly.
And like, Yeah, right. It's a Home Alone fucking thing. And I'm like, what is he going to do with all this stuff? And a big bottle of malt liquor. Like, well, how's that going to come into it? I love that. I really love all that.
That's your engineer coming up.
Right. Yeah.
And crafts. Crafts. Yeah, I agree. Or like, if you want to see a kind of action-y movie, hitman-y, but like still meditative and strange thing that does do things in a way I've not seen before, except now I have seen them because I've seen it. You Were Never Really Here with Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh.
Joaquin Phoenix looking pretty chunky and chabalino.
Right, yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Still very like strong, but like he looks like he lifted more weights than he's ever lifted while eating more than he's ever eaten.
Wow, okay.
He's got that kind of slight strongman body.
Right, chunky.
Where he's got like gloopy pecs in the shape of pecs.
Yes.
Which is, after my tour, is kind of the body I have at best. I can still bench press a lot, but I've got a lot of pudding between me and the air.
Yeah, what's an assassin movie I really like?
There's a great bit in You Were Never Really Here right at the start where he's just like wrapping up. I think he kills someone with a hammer, but it's just like a B&Q hammer.
Oh, great. Yeah.
And then he just wraps it up and disposes of it in a clever way and then just goes and buys a new hammer from B&Q and you're like, oh.
Oh, that's
God.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that.
Just constantly, like a hammer per person.
My main feeling from the killer was like, oh, the waste. Because he's always throwing things in the bin.
It's smashing his phone, yeah.
Yeah, once he uses that, something he has to throw it away. He wipes it clean and he throws it away. I'm like, oh, it's a lot of landfill.
He's not a green killer. But it wouldn't be as good as a satire of consumerism. He's eating McDonald's.
But he's cutting people's lives short and they're consuming less.
Yeah, so but he's cutting them short while they're doing consumery things. The brute is going in a big souped up car to a casino. Tilda Swinton is ordering loads of small plates and not even eating them and drinking a bunch of really nice whiskey really quickly and not appreciating it.
Right, okay.
There's all sorts of things that like, the more you look back at it, you go, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I guess I could never really discern what his moral position was. Or if he was just a foil for the audience to...
He's just a vessel.
Yeah. This is my problem with hitman assassin movies in general.
Yeah.
Is that the story is always... They start off doing the job as normal and something happens and they have to break all their normal procedures. And
yes.
I want to watch a movie where it's just the procedures.
You just get a bit of the job.
Yeah, I want to see the job done really well.
Yeah.
Even like Jason Bourne, great movie, but it's about him having to escape the people he used to work for. I want to see them work.
Yeah, I want to see
like a good professional relationship between them and the agency.
And we never see the before.
Yeah.
It's always like, we've got to go rogue.
Yes, I don't know. I just want to see you carry it off well, you know?
Yeah, I agree, actually. But then I guess that would be more like you'd watch an hour episode of that.
Yeah.
Because if it was just a movie, then it would be like, but then why are we, how does it end, you know?
I know, and this is a problem because you need that arc. You need that whatever the Kurt Vonnegut fucking story shape.
But what I want is even less of an arc in the sense that, like, I don't even care why they have to break all the rules. I'm happy with them.
I don't like them breaking the rules. I want to see how they stay disciplined.
I
want to see the process.
I'm so only interested in these things as abstract expressions, like haikus now. These Hitman movies.
Right.
They're just like haikus now. I don't, you know. Uh-huh. There's not enough space within them to get me to empathize with different characters and stuff.
Well, this is it.
It's too limited a form, and that's why I like it.
Yeah.
I'm interested in haikus. So whenever they waste time being like, they've killed your dog, they've killed your wife, your long-lost brother got shot into the moon. I don't care.
Yeah.
I know why you're doing it. You're doing it so that normal people watch this.
Right, yes.
And I'm not interested in that. It's like if at the start of every film, there was a scene where, for no reason, a priest walked in and turned to the camera and said, "Don't worry, everyone's going to go to heaven after they're dead."
Right.
In this film. And the whole audience went, "Phew." Now, I don't need it. I think it's patronizing and lame.
Yeah.
This guy's an assassin. Am I supposed to believe that, like, oh, he's an assassin, but he still loves his dog or his wife? You're like, probably not.
Yeah, no.
I'd be more interested in a portrayal of someone who...
Exactly. At this point, it'd be more of a surprise for them to have no morality, not love anyone, have no soft spots.
Completely unsympathetic character.
Yes.
I would find John Wick more engaging if the reason he did it wasn't because, A, he had a wife, then the wife died, the wife gave him a dog, then they killed the dog, now he's upset. Cut all that. He's the most dangerous man in history, apparently. Mm. They just fucked up his house.
Yeah,
they fucked up his car. They messed with him.
Yeah. Enough. That's it. Enough. Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
He's crazy. You can't be like, he's normal. He likes dogs too. After you've seen him kill someone with a pencil.
Yeah.
You go,
yeah.
Well, he's not normal.
Yeah, I don't know why movies shy away so much from that. I don't know why they think people need this.
Because people do. Like, I that's the depressing part that I don't like being reminded of, is that, like, that's what makes Always Sunny in Philadelphia so unique, is that it's like, relentless. Saying, like, these people are unsympathetic. They're just horrible. Ironically, that makes them less anxious to watch. I was talking to Glenn about my Fraser anxiety. It's because I like Fraser Crane. Whereas Always Sunny, I can actually enjoy it more casually.
Yeah.
Because it's edgier.
Yes, and it's all horrible, and they all deserve the bad thing.
They deserve the bad thing.
Yeah.
I'm not sad when that happens either.
Yeah.
If anything, I'd be more sad if they won.
Yeah, and even then,
not really, because it's funny the way they do it, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, the number of times I've tried to pitch something where someone's been like, well, the main character is a bit unsympathetic. And I go, so?
I know, yeah.
It's an interesting story.
Right.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah. Also, that's part of the human experience, which is what art is meant to reflect.
Yeah, whereas, there's a lot of people out there, and, like, my younger sister is like this. If she doesn't like the main character, she can't watch it.
Very odd. Yeah, I know.
She just goes, well, I don't like them. I don't want them to win, so why am I watching? And you just go, because it's a fragment of life.
Exactly.
It's a fragment of life.
You shouting, holding a box of popcorn in the cinema lobby. Oh, it's a fragment of... I think that guy's shouting, it's a fragment of life.
Is he saying it's a fragment of life? Sorry, sir, are you saying it's a fragment of life? Yeah. Oh, okay.
That is why, and I think this is why people, aka wankers like me, get into sort of indie foreign movies.
Yeah.
Is that they don't have to ascribe to this.
No, it is just like, and then they all died.
Yeah.
You go, good.
Yeah. It's also, good. It's also why I like movies like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood or...
Three Billboards.
Three Billboards or Licorice Pizza.
It just kind of
goes on and on and on and on. And people, bad things happen to good people, good things happen to bad people, and things happen because they happen.
They happen because they happen, and you're getting to have a little window into an interesting fragment of life that you would not otherwise have had.
Yeah, I like it.
And it's like going on a walk around a neighborhood.
Yeah.
You get to walk around the neighborhood and go, gosh, look at that.
And I get frustrated sometimes, you know, I write, from time to time I write a script and I get notes from it, and notes always like, oh, well, why did this happen? And I want to go, because it did, because things happen. Things just happen.
Yeah.
And they don't always happen for a reason. But I understand, you know, if you...
The only good argument, apart from just appealing to wet people who need things to make sense for that, is I used to think that more, I still think that, But I used to think it more. And what changed was that I realized watching something that I was instinctively looking for reasons why things happened as a viewer.
Yes, yes, yeah.
And so I do look for symbolism, or in the same way that, like, people always say, like, oh, why doesn't Jason Bourne, you know, or James Bond, we never see him going for, like, a shit.
Yeah.
And it would be like, the reason is because the audience would assume there was a reason for it.
Right.
And even if there wasn't a plot reason for it, they'd be like, right, we're supposed to know that he's like this, he's bored, or...
Right.
Or the way he would go for a shit would be important. If
yes,
he's sat on the loo and he's straining, he's unhealthy. If he's got diarrhea, he's unhealthy, and we're supposed to know that. Or if he's staring in the middle distance, he's like dead inside, and we're supposed to know that.
But, and also, there's only so much time in a movie
you can dedicate.
But then, I think that's part of the reason people are so into, like, the long, you know, long drama series, is that you do get those moments. You know, you do get a moment of Saul Goodman just going to the bathroom and wiping up, and, you know.
You get a richer experience.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the people who we talk to about scripts, not all of them, but some of them, are behind on that because they're still thinking like BBC Two sort of brain.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, our generation is so used to grittier, long-form stuff where it's like, well, then he got hit by a car.
Yeah.
Because that can happen to you. Who was driving the car? A guy.
Just a random guy.
It wasn't the villain.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't his brother.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the kid from the first episode who you never see again.
Yeah.
It was a guy in a car,
mm-hmm.
and things can happen.
That's why there's a great bit in Whiplash towards the end where he's just rushing and he just gets hit by a car.
Yeah.
And it's just an accident. There's no significance to it. It's just an accident. And I was like, yes, I remember that moment forever.
Or rather, the significance is that it's like, well, that is what life is like.
Mm. Sometimes a car will just come at you.
That's what, one of the reasons why I can't enjoy as much, say, Mission Impossible-y sort of thing.
It's too neat. Everything means something.
Everything means something. Everything is something else. All the quips refer to things that we've seen.
Yeah.
And everyone is like, we've got to do it for friendship. Or for, like, because I love you, Susan. And, like, you met Susan a day ago.
Yeah, have you noticed in trailers for even action movies, there's always a bit towards the end where there's, like, hard cuts, a lot of different images from the movie. And there's always one where he's kissing a woman. There's always one. At the same spot of every trailer, there's him kissing a woman. You go, who's she? Why is this? The movie that that finally broke me about this, and I thought, I'll never get the movie I want, is the trailer for Hitman. I think the first Hitman.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, and Agent 47 kisses a lady. He doesn't kiss a single person in any of the games. He expresses no physical desire for any person. He has no romantic relationships. The whole point is that he's not attracted to anyone because he's like a weird lab clone. And now he's kissing a lady.
You can't have it both ways. You can't be like, look at this terrifying robo killer. And then be like, inevitably he retires to a cabin with a dog.
Yeah.
With like a big jumper. It's all like hygge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, that's all he wanted, really, was to sit in his cabin. You go, get fucked. It cannot be true.
Yeah.
I watched the sequel to Extraction.
What's Extraction?
Is it Chris Hemsworth is the Aussie Chris, isn't he?
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The first one, he's being an action hero in, like, Mumbai.
Right.
And then there's the sequel now.
Oh, nice one. I think it's quite good.
Just like watching a video game.
Okay.
It's like a level.
Great.
There's a bit where he's on an armored train and helicopters attack, and he just finds a gun emplacement to attack them with, kind of thing.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's a video game. It's a Call of Duty level, and you watch Chris Hemsworth complete Call of Duty as himself. But even that's not free from some stupid bullshit of like, because you're my nephew. That's why. Bullshit,
why?
Stupid crap.
Why?
Really, really annoying. Because again, it's like. It adds nothing. I really think it adds nothing.
And movies like...
Is it for wives?
Sometimes I think that, you know, when I'm feeling particularly heteronormative, I'm like, is this like the one saving grace for
the girlfriend who's been dragged. It's because the movie studios are looking at it and going like, at the moment we're losing 50% of revenue.
Yeah.
Because there's no bit where they kiss.
But why don't guys get that in return? Why isn't there in Sex and the City a bit where Samantha just kicks a guy to death?
Why isn't there a bit in a rom-com where they have to fight off a helicopter with a gun emplacement?
Yeah, exactly. There's a single bit in When Harry Met Sally where Harry has to like pick a lock upside down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why not?
On a time limit.
Yeah.
Why isn't there a
bit for the fellas?
Why isn't there a bit where Hugh Grant, which to be fair, he'd be more likely to do with his career these days.
Yeah.
Hugh Grant is making out with a lady who briefly stops making out with him and kills someone over his shoulder.
Yes, exactly. And he goes, oh, why?
Oh, gosh. Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much. I owe you one, I suppose.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith is the attempt to create this film.
Right. And it was horrible.
Absolute dog shit.
That's why it can't be done.
It's like gravy on ice cream. Just go, uh-oh. It's not anything wrong with these two things.
You go, oh, that's why it can't be done.
Can't be done. They tried it, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. The poopiest thing I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
Really
poop. So maybe it actually is impossible. But like a movie that just doesn't fall for this trap, like Mad Max Fury Road,
yeah,
is a forever classic.
Yeah.
Because it just, he does what it means to do. It does what it does.
Yeah. And they didn't use CGI.
No CGI at all. God, I love that movie so much. It makes me cry, that movie. It makes me cry.
Because they use real machines.
So what is it? Sing, Brother Heckler, sing, Brother Cock, as he's firing these submachine guns into the dark blindfolded.
Yeah.
I started crying. I was like, this is beautiful. This is so beautiful. And it doesn't mean anything more than it is. It's so lovely.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even against, I'm in favor of abstract symbolism. Fill your movie with a weird code and let me try and unravel it.
Yeah, totally.
But stop with this, like, and that was bad because they were nice. You go, it was bad or it wasn't. I'll decide. I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah. 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 But anyway, The Killer is out on Netflix.
Yeah. We have been sponsored today by Michael Fassbender. Who's a big fan, I'm sure.
German-Irish. German-Irish.
Yeah.
Is he Northern Irish?
I'm not sure.
Is he British, as in citizenship-wise?
I don't know, you know.
Hmm.
We'll figure it out. We should do some correspondence.
Oh, yes.
You've been away.
I've been away, heaving sack of letters.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ring
letters,
emails,
phone
calls,
correspondence.
A message from Fergus.
Fergus. Good strong name, Fergus. Fergus, service your correspondence.
Dear Buttpood.
Buttpood.
I was stopped at a traffic light the other day when I looked over and saw that the car next to me had a sticker.
Oh, yeah.
On its rear window.
A decal.
Yeah. I normally despise these tatty adornments, so of course I had to see what it was. Instead of the usual stick figure version of their family or banal slogan, I read perhaps the most aggressive tat I've ever seen. I will attach the photo I've managed to take. And in case it's not clear, I will include the text.
Awesome.
If Phil can whisper this tat, it will prove his position as tat whisperer beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Okay, let's go. Let's try this.
No blank. We blank like real blank.
Oh, shit. No blank. I mean, the worst version of this I can think of is no condoms. We fuck like real men.
What? Real men, you got?
Real men, okay. No blank. Oh, no indicator.
No blank. We blank like real men.
No blank. We blank. Drive like real men?
No.
No.
It is car related. It's on the back of the car.
No blank. No sat nav.
No, it's more toxic than that.
Ooh, okay. No automatic.
More toxic.
Oh. No music. No color.
More toxic.
Wow.
It's car based.
No muffler. No.
You're going very niche.
I'm just trying to think of car stuff. No hybrid. No electric.
More toxic.
Wow, how do you get more toxic than that?
Toxic masculinity.
No women.
No. Okay. It's still car based.
Okay.
No women is implied by the phrase we blank like real men.
Oh shit.
But that's not necessarily relevant. No blank. We blank like real men.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
What do women have in their cars that men don't?
Oh no, I'm not saying it's grounded in reality.
Okay. No pink?
No.
I'm finding this too hard.
No pink we what like real men?
We paint like real men. Okay, go on.
Think toxic masculinity. What is it? What are you supposed to...
Strong strength, physical strength.
Yeah.
No training wheels, no...
You're getting much closer with training wheels than you were with muffler.
No power steering.
No, what? This is the trouble with asking an engineer this question. You're going into like actual innovations that make the act of driving easier.
No insurance.
You're getting closer. No power steering. We spin like real men. We turn the wheel loads.
So no insurance is closer.
No blank. We blank like real men. I thought you'd get this quite quickly.
Wait. No, I can't do it.
No airbags. We die like real men.
Wow, okay.
Oxy.
Yeah.
Also, there's a symbol above it that looks like something that would be in an action movie. I'm just going to Google that.
But imagine like having a terrible crash and being saved only by the airbag and then going, oh no, the guys are going to kill me.
Oh no, I'm gay because an airbag saved my life. Sea Shepherd is the sticker. What does that mean?
Sea Shepherd, like the brand of the sticker?
Yes.
A sea shepherd is just a lighthouse,
isn't it? Oh, it's just someone who protects dolphins or something.
Ah.
Sea shepherd. But why would you have a sea shepherd sticker?
Is it a brand?
No, it's not a brand. It's like it's all saying like we defend the, you know.
Gosh.
It's not like North Face, we defend the North Face of the mountain. What the hell is this? What is it, though? Our critics began to label us as pirates. What is Sea Shepherd? Fucking hell.
And so Sea Shepherd is part of the sticker?
No. It's just the sticker I saw above it. And I was trying to see if it was
an
army veteran or a fucking neo-Nazi badge or something.
I see.
If I see a skull with two weird objects crossed under it, Phil, I'm Googling it.
Oh, there's a skull.
That's what I said.
Oh.
Skull with a trident and a shepherd's crook underneath.
Gosh. Wow.
It's a conservation society. There you go. Trying to look all tough, but it still just saved the whales.
With a skull and crossbone. Oh, because it's like piratey?
Yeah.
Right. I see,
nice
I see,
pirates.
I see.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Conservation is rad.
But he's against airbags. Pick a team. Pick a team.
But I mean, that's so toxic. Toxic, it has to be, you know, tongue in cheek, kind of sarcastic. Right?
Yeah, but then, like, why put it on? You're obviously still hanging out with people who are like, haha, yeah. Imagine.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it right.
That's true.
Be full mental or be full hippie.
But is it airbags that, at least for a while, like, cause a lot of deaths?
I thought there were seatbelts, they said.
No, seatbelts is, I think, no, seatbelts are, I think, in the, this is a joke in The Simpsons. That Homer says, see, Lisa, seatbelts kill more people than they save. And Lisa goes, no, that's airbags.
They suffocate kids if you put kids in the front.
The seatbelts.
Yeah, no, sure. They're airbags.
Oh, right.
Because they can't move their face.
Yeah, but sometimes they can also break a neck because they go poof and like push your head back. But I guess it can't be much worse than smacking straight into the
then full on head banging the glove box. It's signed P.
Okay.
This is from P.
P. A good letter to be.
Dear Fisting and Peen. Yeah.
Okay. I'm Fisting, I guess.
And I'm Peen.
And you're Peen. And together we're...
Fisting and Peen! So... Let's see... I have recently begun the pod journey. I'm working at it Lady and the Tramp style, and I don't remember which episodes are new or old. Physicians do not recommend.
What does it mean, Lady and the Tramp style?
From both ends, like spaghetti.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
That's going to really fuck up your head.
Yeah, that's terrible. So, like, one at the beginning and then one at the end. And
just constantly back and forth.
Gosh, like mementoing Bud Pod.
Yeah, yeah. In jokes in reverse.
Woof.
Yeah. That's fucked. Well, good luck.
Do you reckon you'll remember? Will P remember it differently than someone who listened to it in order? If they successfully piece it together of an in joke and back reference later on, do you think your memory just puts it in order?
I don't know, because if P figures out a joke without hearing it the first time. Then when they do hear it the first time, it will be more like a callback than the original.
That's true.
And they will have the wrong idea of what was said early on.
Mm. What does P say about
us? Blah, 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 blah. I'm hoping that I'm right in thinking Pooh stories are still wanted. Well, wanted is, you know.
Wanted is a strong word to use.
I think they're funny. Phil has... You've reacted to the Pooh stories a bit like, Tim thingy when he has to become Father Christmas.
Tim Allen.
Yeah.
The Santa Claus.
Yeah, yeah. You're like Tim Allen and the Santa Claus. Like you're doing it.
Yeah.
But like you weren't looking for it to be Santa Claus.
Also, we should make a comment on the revelation this week that Joe Lycett has started a specific Pooh Story podcast.
We've been tagged.
Have we? Yeah.
So much people be like, "You just gotta stand for this shit." Like, people are really angry and want to know what our statement is on this.
I can't believe it.
Well, what are we gonna do?
I don't know. What can we do to big Lycett? You know.
Yeah.
We can't fight City Hall.
What if we dress like a clown and shred 50,000 turds?
Ah. Until Joe Lycett stops his new.
If he doesn't stop it, we'll shred 50,000 turds.
Yeah.
And if he stops it, we'll donate them to charity.
Thus incentivizing him to keep going morally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're coming for you, Lycett.
Yeah.
Joe.
Hi, and Joe. Join us for Bud Pod's next pivot into being a specifically sort of rude art podcast.
Yeah.
Rude art and gardening podcast.
Yeah, fuck it. That's right. That's right. I've got a window box, Joe, or I could. You know what I have, Joe? I've got a drawer full of acrylics.
You take what we love, we take what you love.
You do a poo story. We do a gardening show.
Gardening.
You make fun of someone's diarrhea. We paint a 90s culture icon in a gross way on our canvas using acrylic paint.
Don't make us do it, because we don't want to.
You stab one of our fans, we put one of yours... In the toilet. We put them in the toilet. Yeah, I don't know what we're going
to do. All the best to him. All the best to him.
Yeah, hi, Joe. We both know Joe as well, we should say. I think people underestimate how small
the comedy world is.
We both met Joe Lycett in 2011.
He won the student comedian award that I won a year before I did.
Yes, yeah, 2011.
So he did the closing set in my competition, 2011.
Edinburgh. That's when I met him.
Oh, 2010.
2010. That's when I met him, as was after the closing set.
When
it was all said and done, he had long hair back then.
He did have long hair.
We remember, Joe.
We remember the real you.
We remember the real you. Long hair.
Before you're a big poopy man, we remember the non-poopy boy.
Yeah, that's it. We remember the poopy boy.
We sharted so that Joe Lycett could
have a solid dump.
Yeah.
We farted so he could shit.
Yeah, we farted
so he could shit. That's, please, actually, if you're listening, please comment under all of Joe's posts on Instagram. Bud farted so that you could shit. Please. If he responds in any way, it would be such good PR for Bud Pod.
It'd be great value, yes.
Bud Pod farted so you could shit, Joe.
Don't forget that.
Don't forget that. Don't just wipe us away.
Yeah.
Okay, that's our plan. That's our response.
Yeah. He's the Elvis to our BB King, was it?
Yeah. We're poo poo king, and he smell this.
We're pee pee king,
and he smell this.
Smell this, yeah.
And he's like going, oh, poo's pretty funny. Where they're like, that's great, smell this. You know, we're encouraging.
Yeah, taking it to the masses, but just don't forget us.
Don't forget us, please. Oh, sure, I won't. Tell me about your poos. So, okay, so this is. This is quite a long one. Okay, P. This is a story about other children's peas and poos. When I was a child, 7? Question mark. He doesn't know.
Wow. Okay. I thought he said 7 question marks. I was like, why is this person so unsure?
When I was a child,
were they ever a child?
When I was a child, 7? Question mark.
Yeah.
I was not good.
Oh no. I was not good.
I was not good. Full stops in capital letters. Not good. I attended after-school care with my very quiet, shy, soft-spoken friend that did not like me.
Sounds like a tough childhood.
This is a fun picture you're painting, though.
What's the name of this person?
P.
Oh, this is still P, of course. Yeah.
I had to do after-school care with my quiet, shy, soft-spoken friend that did not like me.
Mm.
When she got back from Disneyland, she brought souvenirs for everyone but me.
Oof, rough.
Oh, my God. We were the only two of our friend group in after-school care that day. I cannot emphasize enough that I was annoying, loud, and mean.
This person's he's really had a Damascene conversion at some point.
Yeah, you're
really seen the error of their ways.
Roasting yourself. You got visited by 3 ghosts covered in shit. Not one adult or child enjoyed my thoughts or company.
Wow, hey, take it easy. You're only a kid.
You're already dead.
You're already dead.
Because I sucked. That's the next bit. I had nothing to lose.
This is zealotry of the convert in that.
Wow. Sense. Yeah, this is the people in a Baptist church would be saying, "We can, we forgive you." I had nothing to lose.
Mm.
I don't remember exactly how the idea came to be, but I do remember convincing my oh so kind and well behaved friend to join in. The brilliant idea was to take advantage of all the stupid children around us and fuck over the staff all in one fell swoop.
Mm.
A secret goal I did not vocalize. Now we were only allowed to use the first floor bathrooms, as it was after school, and the second and third floors were not to be walked upon.
Mm.
If you remember when you were a child, or even now, you do not question an out-of-order sign on a toilet stall.
No.
That is an all-powerful sign. No one is testing its honesty.
Absolutely not.
The stall door remains closed.
Too much to lose.
Yeah, exactly. Me and my friend at the crafts table stacked up 20 sheets of paper, and with the best coloured markers in the bin, we wrote up a pile of out-of-order signs. Very nice. My friend at this point was very worried about getting in trouble. I do think I may have pressured her to continue.
That was me. I was terrified of getting in trouble.
Yeah, me too. And look at us now.
Recording
a podcast about shit. And I was happy to be in trouble, and she was not happy. Eventually, we tucked the papers under our shirts, as well as two rolls of scotch tape, and very suspiciously giggled through asking to go to the bathroom. As you can guess, we taped an out-of-order sign onto every single stall in the girls' and boys' bathroom.
Oof.
We promptly went back to daycare and sat quietly, biding our time.
This is a sophisticated prank for such small kids.
Well, as we've learned, she was awful. Not good.
Terrible. Not good. Sucked.
Slowly, the room of 10 to 15 children began to fidget vigorously. They would go to the bathroom, but they would come back, seemingly unrelieved.
Mm.
Children had stopped sitting and were now standing uncomfortably near games they had abandoned.
The classroom.
This is a very, advanced. Eventually, one very small little boy waddled up to one of the supervisors, legs crossed, hands clasped around his crotch, and explained that he needed to pee. She answered, obviously, to go to the bathroom, and the boy replied, "They are all out of order."
When does that stop, by the way, the holding of your crotch and crossing
your
legs?
Oh, just like grabbing your own dick when you're pissed. When did I stop doing that?
It's such a brute force approach to not weeing.
Can't pee now. When did I stop doing that? Last week?
At least
I don't know.
If I do, it'll go into my hands.
I do, like, my dick will explode like a balloon of piss first. My dick will pop. She was confused, the teacher, hearing this.
Mm.
But they're all out of order. Mm. Shocked and curious.
Mm.
I would like to take these last few sentences to set the scene as to what she walked into. I have a learning disability, and that's both in quotes.
Okay.
Learning in quotes and disability, separate quotes.
Separate quotes, okay.
So it may or may not be a disability, learning. And it may or may not be anything to do with learning.
Right.
Called dysgraphia, which is basically clinically bad penmanship.
Like just like handwriting so bad.
Yeah.
It's got a
medical name.
DCMS. What's the book called?
DSM.
DSM.
Throughout all my schooling, I've done at least 20 of those trace the letter books. The last time they gave me one, I was 12.
Wow.
Wow. To this day, I have very messy writing, and every time I write someone a note, I have to read it to them.
What was this disorder called?
Dysgraphia.
Dysgraphia. Nice. You're a dysgraph. Look at this writing. You're a dysgraph.
It's a disgrace in Spain. Tú eres una dysgraphia. No. No, miscuse. When I write people little letters, I give them the handwritten version as well as a typed-up version. So as you can imagine, my penmanship at 7 was bad.
Mm-hmm.
So to any adult, the out-of-order signs were obviously written by a child using coloured Crayola markers. There's not really a punchline to the story other than I think it's the best prank I've ever pulled. The staff immediately knew it was me and at no point disciplined my friend because it was known that if anything, any mischief occurred, I was to blame.
Because they sucked.
I want to know if any kids exploded. I think maybe they got away with it.
Is that letter dedicated to the exploded kids of Peace School?
Yeah. R.I.P. R.I.P.
R.I.P. That's a good prank.
That's a good prank.
Yeah.
Almost worked.
I guess what would really have sealed the deal if someone just shat themselves in class.
Yeah.
But then that would be pretty good still. Pretty good going.
It's pretty good thinking for a bad
for 7-year old. Yeah.
An evil, horrible
for a
child.
For a dysgraphia
like her.
Yeah.
Well, now it's time to go to the VIP after school care.
Okay.
Classroom.
Gosh.
Of the Patreon.
Right. Okay. Yes.
Thank you very much for listening, guys. There are only a few tickets left, I think, for my Leicester Square Theatre show this Thursday, the 23rd.
Yeah.
It's upon us. I've been promoting it relentlessly.
Well, tomorrow, if you listen to this.
Tomorrow. Fucking hell, yeah. Tomorrow. Thursday, the 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
In London. So if you can come, come. If you can't, then don't.
Further to that, similarly, limited tickets for Christmas Bud Pod Live.
Yeah, Smelly Crapmas.
Literally a handful of tickets. A lot of the time when comedians say there's a handful of tickets, they're lying. There are plenty of tickets. But I mean it. There are a handful of tickets.
Can only fit into your hand.
Yeah. You can only fit into your digital hands. That's on the 15th of December.
Yeah. At Bloomsbury Theatre.
Yes. Otherwise, talk to you all soon. It's good to be back. Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.